happiness is the key. And that's something that I've always believed in. And it was really assuring to have someone else who is very, very successful to have that same thought process of, you know, if you're happy where you are, I mean, if you're making, you know, $35,000, $40,000, $50,000 or whatever, and you're happy, you're content, you love your life, you're able to coach your kids' basketball games and go to the movies and do what you want to do, and you're happy, then you don't need to make $1 million. You don't have to change your lifestyle. It's not, you know, you're not looked at as a loser if you're happy. Happiness is the end goal. If you're making all this money, but you're miserable and you hate your job, you're not winning.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Armaan Ahluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugenie. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Ridao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, The Big E, and I just wanted to give a huge shout out and warm welcome to the listeners from countries that are new to the podcast, and namely Russia, India, Hungary, and Japan. Wow, so international. Welcome to the podcast, guys, and hope you will get great value and will enjoy this content. We are now in 31 countries. Hell yeah. You can find this podcast on all major podcast platforms such as Apple, Spotify, Anchor, and many, many more. And if you enjoy the content so far, please consider subscribing and leaving a rate and review. It helps the pod grow and get into more ear holes. In this episode, I virtually traveled to Portland, Maine, where I sat down and had an awesome chat with one of my favorite TikTokers and podcast hosts ever, Justin Phillips, the director of corporate partnerships at Portland Sea Dogs, and also the host of Sales, Sports, and Coffee podcast, which helped me a lot in my sales process. Justin shared his story about how he got started in sports business and also why presence on social media is very important from personal and professional standpoint. I hope you will get a lot of value out of this one. So without further ado, the conversation with Justin starts now. Enjoy.
So welcome back to another episode of eProcast. I'm your host, The Big E. And together alongside me, I have an awesome guest all the way from Portland, Maine. I have to confess that at the beginning, I thought it's Portland, Oregon. I don't know why.
That happens all the time, though. So don't worry about it.
I just saw Portland. So I was like, okay, the only Portland I know is Oregon. But I have alongside me Justin Phillips, the director of corporate sales at Portland Sea Dogs minor league baseball team. He's also University of Southern Maine alum and also the host of one of my favorite podcasts, the host of Sports, Sales, and Coffee, which has been in my ear holes for about 6 months now. I know this is his favorite words to use in this podcast, but
always.
Justin, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited and honored to be a guest on the ePro podcast, and we'll have some fun. And a fun fact about Portland, Portland, Maine was actually the first Portland, and then Portland, Oregon became. The wives' tale of the story is there was a duel, and the gentleman from Portland won, and that's why it was called Portland. And so
that's
we always consider ourselves the better Portland.
It actually was crucial when we set up this call. I was
yes.
Like, okay, it's you know, it's 10 hours between us, and you're like, no, it's 7 or 6. I'm like, no.
No.
West Coast is kind of 10 hours for me.
No, we're right on the East Coast, so I got that. But it feels like Portland, Oregon today. It's rainy, it's cold, it's cloudy, so.
Is it better usually, or it's like this always?
It comes and goes. I feel like we, you know, it's the saying is we hit all four seasons in one day. You wake up and it's winter, and it adds up to fall. Then it's a nice summer, goes to spring, and then back to winter. So this time of day, you never know what to wear. It's you put on a long sleeve shirt, and then around or a sweatshirt, and around noontime, you're sweating because it's 80 degrees, and then it's cold again. So
Right.
No one knows what's going on.
Justin, to give a little bit of context to the audience, this you've been through a lot of sales positions, and we'll talk a lot about personal branding. And of course, one of my favorite topics to talk about, TikTok. And your presence on TikTok. Yeah. And actually, I'll share how I found you on TikTok. But before we dive right into the audience, go and check Justin's podcast out. It's Pour Sales and Coffee on all major platforms. Do it. Pause this episode and go follow him before continuing this episode.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
You're in sales, and you're basically having all the calls, a lot of conversations with potential partners, clients every single day. But if you'd have 1 minute, how would you describe and pitch Justin Phillips to the listeners?
That's tough. I would say I'm a fun-loving guy. I like to have as much fun as possible. I watched my mom growing up, where she was a school teacher, and she loved going to work. She loved teaching kindergarten, first grade. And that's something that I always kind of cherished. And it was always kind of taught from young age that you got to enjoy what you're doing. We work, you know, a lot of our lives is just we were behind a desk, behind a phone. And if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're like wasting your life. So I try to have as much fun as possible. I hope to try to portray that. And I just be myself from an early age. It's, you know, there are going to be people that like you. There are going to be people that don't like you. And people that don't like you, it is what it is. You're not going to change their minds. And just be yourself and have as much fun as possible. Make as many stories as you can. And, you know, life is all about stories and just having a good time.
Absolutely. And it's 1 minute.
I don't know if that's a real pitch, but that's me, man.
that was a good one. What about your first day in sport when you connected your life? And you had a break in the sports business, as I saw on LinkedIn. Can you remember your first day that you got to experience work in sports, and how was it? What did you feel about it?
My first taste was I was an intern. I was a senior at the University of Southern Maine, and I was an intern working for the Maine Red Claws, which they were the D League affiliate of the Celtics. Now they're the G League affiliate, but they're always the D League to me. I got to train myself not to call them the D League. And I remember my first day, I was so excited for my interview. I was so nervous. My resume was terrible. I wasn't a very good student. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to get this. But I went in. I was able to, you know, to get it to be a general intern. I remember my first day I walked in. I was so excited, saw the Celtics logo. And I was so pumped to be there. And I stuffed envelopes for the rest of the day. And I was like, this sucks. But it was just a great atmosphere that was there. You know, you were selling sports. And I got into the Red Claws after their, you know, when they were building for their first year. So I started in September, be a very small part, but building the brand and growing up. So the atmosphere was great. But I just remember my first day walking in, it kind of sucked just because, you know, you're doing general intern stuff, but I stayed with it, I guess.
what about your first day with your actual team you're working with? It's been 7 years. Wow.
It has been 7 years. My first out again was really excited. I was really pumped up, and I actually was. I had some coworkers, or now they're coworkers, but people that I knew before that I had some friendships with. So I was very excited to kind of build that relationship more, and I was just excited and to try a new thing and be a part of a team that had such a great, you know, name within the community, and that they did a lot of great community things, and just try something new. And I was nervous and I was scared, and you know, I failed previously in my two sales positions. So I was really nervous about that, hey, is this a good fit for me or is sales something I should give up on and go into, you know, something else. So very, very excited, very, very nervous. And then I just remember my first like 2 weeks there, and actually my first day, it was the day after the season ended. So I was told to wear not nice clothes, and I cleaned out this closet. And it was one of the hottest days of the year, and I was sweating profusely. And I remember I built a shelf. And again, I was like, this sucks. But 7 years later, I'm here. So I must have had fun and had great. But, I was working like a dog, sweating like a pig. And it kind of was what it was. But loved it and was able to get on the phone a couple weeks later and just fell in love with the process and the experience. And, yeah, 7 years.
That's super awesome, Justin. I actually had one more guest on earlier on the podcast who also worked in minor league teams. And that's Brock Hendricks. Currently he's with the LA Lakers, Clippers, and Sparks and Kings. But he started at Salt Lake Bees, where he's originally from. So, yep. And the feedback of working in minor league environment has been awesome. Like, I heard a lot of positives, how fun it is, and how you learn a lot in a short term period and very intense. Can you share with the audience why minor league environment is an interesting and a fun place to work in?
Yeah, I love the minor league atmosphere, and I've never worked for a major league team or one of the top end professional teams. So all I know is minor league, and I love it. I get to wear a bunch of different hats, and even though my title is director of corporate sales, I help out in the ticket office. I answer phones. I help out with guest services. I'm part of the grounds crew, where I'll drag the field when it, you know, in between innings. If it rains, I stop what I'm doing. I go pull tarp. I get to sell group tickets, sponsorships. I get to come up with promotions. I get to see them. I love minor leagues. It's very, very different. I get to kind of do everything. And even though kind of my title is director of corporate sales, I have all of this. I have all these different responsibilities that I get to do. I get to help out in the ticket office. I get to drag the field, pull the tarp on the field when it's raining, deal with issues, deal with great things, create promotions, and kind of come up with some ideas. And I'm also the on-field MC, so I get to kind of play with kids and, you know, just have a really fun time. So you just do a lot of different things, and it's not the same thing over and over. I think if it was the same thing over and over, I don't know if I would be there for 7 years, just because it's a little different. It's a little different, and that's what I love. And you kind of get thrown into the fire. We're a very small staff, so it's all hands on deck, and you really create great bonds and everything. So I enjoy it.
That's right. Kudos to Sea Dogs owners, actually, for keeping the full time for still paying. As I saw on the website, they're still paying the full-time staff and also the game day staff during this challenging times. And I think this is in long term, that's an awesome move. It definitely keeps engaging with the community. How the clients and partners, corporate clients and partners, have reacted also from your on your end? Have they kept their tickets, or exchange them for next year, or there were clients who asked for refund and stuff like that? How the feedback's been?
The feedback's been great, and I always say, like, I'm definitely the outlier when it comes to minor league teams. The owners, the Burke family, have treated us tremendously well. I think they're if not the best ownership group in minor league baseball, and they treat us very, very well. And I think it's, you know, I love that we're able to make the right decisions, and we're able to kind of step back from the business and look at the community and what's working for other, you know, for people. And I think the example that I use is the 2020 season was postponed. It was canceled. But in May, before that official notice came out, you know, we reached out to all of our sponsors, all our season ticket holders, and even just individual ticket buyers, that we were able to say, do you want a refund, or do you want to roll over the credit, or do you want to push us back or hold it? And we gave them the opportunity to tell us, because if they needed that money, if they needed that for payroll, and I had a couple sponsors that did say, like, love that money back because we need to pay payroll this week. And we were able to step back and help out people. So we did that a lot, you know, way before other teams did. So I feel very lucky to be in the situation that I'm in. I understand it's an outlier, and we're able to stay, you know, all together. And it hasn't been like, you know, not every team has been able to do that. A lot of people have been furloughed. So I feel very lucky, and sponsors have loved it. It's helped us out, and it's definitely the right play, because it's going to help us down in the future. That even just talking to people and, you know, even talking to prospects for this year, I do reference that of, hey, we made that decision that, you know, you can get a refund or you can roll over your money. And we even give you a credit on top of that to make it right. So, you know, we build that trust of, at the end of the day, I'm going to do the best thing I can do for you. And this is going to be a two-way street, not a one-way street. And when you have that example to bring it back, it's, you know, it puts the prospect at ease, and the client, you're able to really build something, because, you know, we're not just trying to get your money. We're not just trying to, you know, do that. It's really a two-way street of I want you to get the ROI. I want you to be okay and create a partnership that's going to be, you know, long lasting for years to come. And I've used that many, many times in my sales calls this year because it's truthful. And yeah, so I feel very lucky.
Well, during these times, and of course, it's been a lot, 8 months now, 9 months.
Yeah.
Of all this madness. And we all know how engaging with the community, and of course, with no games, you are trying to do a lot more on outside the stadium. What have you done to keep engaging with the community? To keep it rolling and to keep people positive.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we did early is social media. We started doing because schools all got canceled. They all got shut down. You're learning from home, so. We started coming out with kind of like homework assignments, but they were baseball related. So it was hopefully that parents could use these as, some extra curriculum and help out their kids and have fun in baseball terms. And so we put out those and those went over well. And then we'd pick a weekly winner to win like a Sea Dogs prize pack. And started trying to highlight the community. We recognized the first responders and I tried to do some fun stuff. We raised some money. We came with a shirt that was in, with the United Way that, profits, went towards, doing that with people that were really struggling. So it felt good. And then kind of outside of baseball, we turned our stadium into a 9-hole golf course. We did dining on the diamond and we kicked around a few other ideas and thinking about doing like a Halloween event and just trying to stay relevant in the community that like, hey, don't forget about us. Even though we didn't have a season, we're still here. Like we're still doing fun things.
I just remembered my brother lives in Pensacola, Florida, and the Wahoos are from there. And I just remembered how they transformed their stadium. They put it out on Airbnb and for like $1,500 a night or something like that.
Yeah, I mean that was I think that won a golden bobblehead. That's a phenomenal idea. I think we kicked around, but we couldn't do it because of the rules and everything. But I thought that was brilliant what they did.
No, that was cool, Justin. Well, first of all, I'll tell the story how I and that's for the audience. I think I told you before the call, but how I got to how I found you. And this is a fun fact for the audience, because Justin is not really showing. It's not really mixing his name, Justin Phillips, with sales, sports, and coffee. And it was tough for me to find his real name and to get in touch with him. So the funny story how I got to bump into your content was I randomly went on TikTok and was looking for sports-related hashtags. And one of them was sportsbiz. And at that point, a couple of months ago, the only videos, who do you think the content creator was? It was Justin Phillips. it's sports sales and coffee, and a lot of awesome content. And this is how I afterwards found out about your podcast and stuff like that. And we'll dive into personal branding and why is important, Justin, all this when it comes to sports industry. But first, why won't you share the mission? And let's go back in 2018 when you launched your podcast, Sports Sales and Coffee. What did you have on your mind?
So it's a long but also kind of short story, as you know. I'll give you the cliff notes. So I was listening to a lot of Gary Vee at the time, and I still listen to Gary Vee, but I was all in on him. I was listening to everything. I bought his book and I love him. And I think you can pull a lot of great information from him.
Which Crushing It or Jab, Jab, Jab?
Crushing It.
Okay.
Crushing It. So I got Crushing It. I was reading that. I was just kind of, I was listening to his podcast all the time and it was giving me motivation and it was really big mindset. And, he pushed the big thing of putting yourself out there and doing something. And I remember I was on a family vacation. We were at an indoor water park and we were staying in a hotel. And I remember the family went to bed. I brought my laptop and I sat down and I started writing like a training just for work. I don't know why. I just started writing like a cold calling because there's a couple of people that I worked with that we had some new people coming in, and you know, we had some other people that were going to transfer in roles. So I kind of wrote this thing down, and I had some early success. So I said, yeah, well, let me write down how I cold call and how I set meetings and what I do and how I was taught. And let me share that idea. So I put myself out there. I wrote this big thing, and I'm not a writer. You know, grammar is not my strong point. You probably can see in most of my posts, misspellings, grammar issues. It is what it is. That's not who I am. But I spent a lot of time and put this down, and I sent it out to the office, and nobody read it. Nobody. And it pissed me off, and it made me upset because I put all my time and energy into this, and nobody read it. There's only one person that read it, and it wasn't even for his job. Like, he was our merch guy. Couldn't care less. Like, he's not doing sales, but he read it and got back to me, and you know, it made me mad. And by me listening to Gary Vee a lot, he talked about Anchor, he talked about podcasts and starting things, and kind of amped me up from afar. And basically my thought was, if you guys don't want my ideas, hell, I'll record them, I'll put them out, and we'll just see where it goes. I put all this time into it, and that's what became my first episode, was cold calling. And then I think episode 6 was like the meeting, and it was something I just kind of started, and I had this, because I had this feeling, I wanted to try to kind of create something of my own. I wanted to see if I could just, you know, do something, you know, something else that would kind of get me out of the norm, and kind of get me out of my, you know, comfort space and get uncomfortable and push that. So that's what happened. That's why the podcast started. And I just kind of thought too, especially in the sports industry, I feel like it's a very low risk, high reward for a lot of teams when they hire people out of college. You start out with a very low base salary. So they might not train you as well as they should, or they don't give you the tools to be successful, because if you fail, you know, they're only out, you know, 25, 30 grand. And then, you know, there's so many people that want to get in the industry. They push you out, bring someone else in, and the cream rises to the crop, but you might not be getting as trained as well as possible. And that's what I kind of realized too. So in my thought was, if I can share some ideas that can help someone build themselves up and they can, you know, better their careers, get a bigger commission check. And I say that before every episode, because I honestly believe it. If it can help you at any way to better your career, that's what I want the podcast to do. That's what I want each episode to do, to pull one nugget of information out that you can put into your process. You can flip, you can change, and kind of grow from that. So that's kind of how it all started. It's kind of started out of anger, and then 2 years later, you know, have fun with it. So I just keep rolling with it.
So you're now 110 episodes in.
Yeah.
The next 111 is going to come soon, I guess.
I can't believe that I'm already at 110. When I first started it, I mean, I thought, you know, my mom would listen to it and that's it. You know, I thought, you know, it's not big per se. And I never try to get caught up in the numbers. It's I've always kind of trained myself to, I care about the listener, not the listeners, that if I can give out valuable information to one person, I don't care if 5,000 people are listening to it or two people are listening to it. I just try to put out. So I care about the listener, not the listeners. It's just of who I can, you know, help, and if I can give some information out, that's what I really care about. So numbers to me doesn't matter. I don't try to get caught up in that.
At the beginning, I was kind of looking, you know, Anchor, because I'm also using Anchor. And I was looking at the numbers, like how many listeners and stuff like that. And then I'm like, as it was moving forward, I was like, I'm not looking at the numbers anymore. It's just, you know, I'm just posting it. I'm uploading new episodes. It's fun for me. I'm documenting and sharing this with the world. You know, having awesome guests like you, Justin, is just really cool.
Appreciate that. I mean, you know, I still look at the numbers, you know, when I hit like over 100 or the 200, like I get excited and I get pumped up, and it's not, you know, but I never try to put more into that. Cause I just remember, you know, hearing, I think it was Gary Vee that said it, where, you know, if you're getting caught up with followers, yeah, and from one, you know, from, you know, at the end of year one, if you're at 100, the end of year two, you're at 300, but the end of year three, you're at 350. It doesn't mean that year three was worse. Yeah. You're getting better. Your content is being put out. So that's kind of how I feel. And I also, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, before 100 that I almost gave up on it. You know what I mean? Like I almost, it was getting too stressful. I was in season. It was tough for me to pull it together, but then I would get hit up with someone that, you know, like Yui, it's like me and you would never cross paths before.
Yeah.
Like, just we're in different countries, very far apart. Like, we, in our normal lives, we probably never cross paths. And I got hit up by some people that I have no business knowing that said that helped them out. And that would just kind of amp me up to do more, you know, and get those episodes going.
Justin, why do you think personal branding is important, and especially in our industry? And also, why do you think an individual should tell his or her truth and to share it with the world?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think personal branding is huge. It kind of sets you apart from everyone else. And it also, with sales, can have that personal brand of doing things. It might be easier for you to switch careers or get a new job or be a focal point and all that. And it's, at the end of the day, you're yourself. I mean, I love working for the Sea Dogs. I think they're a phenomenal organization, but at the end of the day, it's me. And I do believe when I am able to sell an account, if I help out an account, what I do. It's so I kind of put myself on the line. And so I believe, you know, in the product that I'm selling, but I also believe in the partnership that I'm building, that it's between me and, you know, the sponsor. And for that sponsor, it's also between me and the decision maker, not so much the company that I'm selling. It's between me and them. So we can really create a partnership and a foundation. And just having that personal brand of knowing that, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to be a snake salesman or a used car salesman who's just going to sell you something, the doors fall off, and then I'm gone. Because if you do get that brand, you're almost black marked. And then it's just, it's terrible. And it's, no, I don't want to work with Justin because, you know, he's a POS. You know, he's just looking to get, you know, get dollars and then leave. So I think personal branding is huge, and just kind of putting yourself out there. And I'm a big believer in it's better to walk away from a deal that doesn't make sense and lose that commission than to sign it and then have it blow up in your face 6 months later. And just that personal brand of knowing that I'm going to try to do the best thing. And then that's how you get referrals. That's how you get more, and you can, you know, relate to people and have more fun when it's really yourself. And rather than just, you're just another name on the wall.
Right. And I think this would be really valuable, Justin, to the audience, especially to someone who, you know, has a podcast or, you know, is doing TikTok, whatever, Instagram and stuff like that, and who wants to share their truth and their story and put some nice content out there that would be valuable to others. How are you coming with ideas for the content?
I would say, so for the podcast, when I come with the content, it's what I'm kind of going through that week. You know, there might be a couple of weeks where it's like, oh man, I got to put one out. And I might just, like, you know, Google, you know, sales tips. And I see one, I'm like, bingo. And then I use exactly what I've been doing for that week or what I've done in the past. So try to make it very personal of what I'm doing. Cause that was one of the issues that I kind of saw when I was looking for my, you know, a podcast for me to listen to. I felt like a lot of these, you know, hosts, they were very good. They were very, you know, they were phenomenal, but they weren't actively selling. They weren't actively in the business. They were kind of out of the business and then looking back at it. And I'm also a big believer that sales constantly changes, and what worked 5 years ago probably doesn't work today. And what worked today probably won't work 5 years from now. So it's kind of, you know, finding that great path. So it's kind of what I'm going through, what happened, what maybe came up in a cold call, how I responded to it, how I failed, how I didn't make it the right spot. And then with TikTok, it's kind of, or any social media, it's kind of whatever I see, you know what I mean? It's like, did I see a cool, a sound that I'm like, oh, hey, this would actually be pretty funny in sales or on the spot. And that's why sometimes I'll come up with like two back to back. And then that's sometimes why it might be a week at a time that I have nothing.
Right. So. What's your favorite social media platform as of now?
I think Instagram. Instagram is my favorite. I like it. I think it's just kind of putting things out. Actually, as I say that, I'm not sure. You've bumped me a tie. I like LinkedIn. I like LinkedIn a lot, especially for business and talking that for personal use. I do like LinkedIn. I hit up a lot of people. You know, for clients, I slide in their DMs. I say it because I do it all the time. Especially on Instagram and Facebook. I'll do that to try to talk to people. TikTok, I don't understand. I have fun with it. I enjoy it, but I don't understand it. Yeah. But I also don't think anyone understands it. So
I don't understand it either. I'll tell you why. the funny story, I've been putting quite a good amount of TikToks so far. But one just blew up like crazy. Like if at one point there were some, and you know, I don't want to look at numbers and stuff like that, but TikTok is just showing you the views.
Yeah.
So it's on there. And one of the, like, if on a normal video, I would see like, I don't know, 200, 300 views up to like 1,000. One day after one video I made was like 20,000. I was like, what in the world is going on?
I almost feel like their algorithm is they know that for a while it's like you're getting down on yourself. Like, I might give it up. And they give you one that's like 100,000 views. You're like, oh, this is awesome. And then nothing. And then it's like.
But I know for a fact that it really helps the engaging with your. And this is definitely a tip for if you want to get more engagement, just, you know, comment to what others are writing, even if they're putting like a word. Like the video that I did was just, you know those scratchable maps that you scratch off country maps. Yeah. So it was like scratching off Moldova as listeners of the podcast. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm from Moldova as well. Hey, look, I'm from Moldova. Let's meet and stuff like that. And you know, just replying to this kind of comments just awesome, because they're taking their time to write that, you know. It's funny.
Oh yeah. I mean, I try to respond to every single comment, just because I'm still amazed. Like if someone follows me, I'm like, oh man, like really, I'm your choice, appreciate it. Like, yep. I'm so amazed and humbled by it. So I try to respond to everything. But you're right, you can get those that interaction and everything. I gotta try to put like more original content out on TikTok. I just do like lip syncing, but I'm not going to do any dancing.
No, your lip syncing on TikTok is awesome. And with the Zoom call, just the leaving the mic on and the sales team continuing your song.
Oh yeah. That was good. That was it feels like, you know, months ago. Oh yeah, when it was quarantine. And I think that one, I came up with that one. I think it was like late at night. I think I was like playing video games, and I was like, oh yeah, this is really funny. Well, let's make it real quick. Someone take me like one take, someone take me 40 takes. And when I hit like around, like if I'm on that for more than like 15 minutes, I'm just like, nope, it's not working. Get rid of it. And some are real bad, but I almost kind of feel like with TikTok, if they make me laugh and I think they're funny, I'm like, yeah, that's all that matters. Like,
absolutely. Which platform has been the most valuable for you as a part of Sea Dogs for the business in general, besides LinkedIn? Let's say besides LinkedIn.
I would say Facebook. I think Facebook has been very, very beneficial to me. And it is, you know, I have a personal account, and I really kind of stopped using Facebook a few years ago. I mean, it got super political. It got super, you know, addy, and it got, it just changed. You know what I mean? And I'm 34 years old, so I kind of grew up with social media, but not so much. Like MySpace was my thing. So when I saw the transfer from Facebook to be more, you know, not so much business-like, but it was too much noise. So I kind of stopped using that for a personal use, but I always had an account because, you know, friends and family, distant cousins, like that's how we would kind of communicate. But with Facebook, what I started learning was every company has a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and you can send them a message, a direct message right to them. And typically the person running your Facebook page as a company is not your gatekeeper. It's not someone who's trained to tell me no. It's the marketing manager or the marketing intern who's not trained, but who's told to respond to comments and to respond to messages. So, you know, I don't put up a bot, but I'm not a bot. It's real. My kids are on there. My, you know, my fiance tags me in a bunch of stuff. So it's an active page, but I'm not, you know, so active on it. And by me sending a message to like Toyota, or there's a company, it was Vice Golf, where I sent them a direct message and the guy responded to me, and I was actually set up a Zoom meeting with him. And Vice Golf is great. They make great golf balls. And how I play, they go like 400 yards into the woods as far as they go. But they're great golf balls, and they're cheap. And So I bought that. I remember I had a meeting with them where their company is out in Germany. That's where they're based. Mm-hmm. And we actually had a good meeting, me and this guy. And I'm a small minor league baseball team in Portland, Maine. Now, we didn't create a partnership, but we actually had a good meeting where he gave me the time of day, and it all started because of Facebook. And I almost said, like, that kind of gave me the reassurance of Facebook can be a real thing by sending a message to them, and then that marketing manager will push you, or that the person will push you to the person you need to talk to because they're not trained not to. So for me, Facebook has been phenomenal in trying to get new accounts and new businesses and everything like that.
Yeah, adding on Facebook, I really think Facebook groups are also a big gold mine out there.
Like, yes.
For example, and I'll give you a small example. It's just ideas for content, for example. When, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, what should I post next and stuff like that. And then since, you know, this podcast is really to help guys and gals who want to work in sports and you know, help with advices, with stories like yours and other guests on the podcast, there are valuable questions, for example, in groups like Work in Sports on Facebook. And people are like, oh, what, you know, can you give me a recommendation and stuff like that? And these are like, you know, questions which lead to content.
Yep. Absolutely. And then even from like the business side part too of Facebook, like when you say groups, like not only do I sell a sponsor, but I also sell a lot of little leagues and Cal Ripken, like youth baseball leagues and softball. And it's much easier for me to send them a message and talk to the president of that league rather than look through their website that probably hasn't been updated in years because the presidents always change. You know, it's a volunteer position, so they're always constantly moving. You know, their kid grows out, you know, ages out of the program. So it's a lot easier to get in touch with people. And most of the time, it goes right to your phone.
Right.
You know, and you have your phone on you at all times, so it's a lot easier.
Absolutely. Justin, what has been the top memory of all time while your time at Sea Dogs?
Oof. That is a great question. I think it's a combination of both. I think one of them that I always loved is I was working at a game and I was like behind home plate. I was just sitting there talking, you know, talking to my boss, and this little 5-year-old kid, you know, walks back and forth, and he's like kind of looking at me. So I kind of waved to him, and then he walked, like, there's the fourth time, and then he walks back, and his dad picks him up and goes, "I'm really sorry, man. But can he take a picture with you?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "He's seen your videos with our mascot Slugger." And he goes, "He's an absolute fan. Like, he watched them every night before bed." Like, and I only had two out. It was basically a video of our mascot smashing a cake in my face and then me like chasing him down. It, you know, very, very dumb video. And it showed, you know, I was like, absolutely, buddy, picked him up, took a picture with him. And it just kind of showed like, you don't know the difference you're making in other people with just doing things that you're already doing or who you can help out. And for me to try to be this, like, I put air quotes, like, celebrity to like a 5-year-old child, like, was one of my favorite memories. Cause you know, it improved his day as much as possible. So I thought it was, you know, I thought it was amazing. I love that. The other great thing that I accomplished was kind of creating some really long lasting partnerships. One of the other things I really liked is kind of creating some partnerships with clients that would never work with us in the past. And there's been, you know, there was this one guy who I remember I called, and this was like probably three, four years ago. I called and I was told by the secretary that he took my packet that I mailed him and he threw it out. And he says, "I will never work with them. Like, I'm not going to work with them." And I said, "Okay." But I called him in the next year. And he didn't throw myself out, but he kind of said, and he goes, "You know, it just doesn't make sense. I've looked at you before. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense." I said, "That's fine." And as a last ditch effort, we created this like really small business friendly package. And I emailed to him as a last ditch effort. And I was like, you know, close down my email, say, "I'll contact you next year." Sent it to him. He got back to me within 15 minutes and asked questions and was like, "Are you serious? Like, I can get season tickets. I can get this. I can do this." I said, "Absolutely." And I have these season tickets behind home plate. You know, they just opened up. They're on the aisle, which they never have. And he bought within like that day after throwing away my stuff. And then since the 3 years there, we've grown as a partnership and a friendship. Like, We've gone golfing before, and to all start that from just my stuff being thrown away, being like, I will not work with you, to just slowly, you know, taking my chances and finally building a partnership where it's a long lasting partnership. And I feel like it's going to be one that, you know, has the potential to outlast myself, you know, and that's what I think you always want to do. And not that I'm planning to leave anytime soon, but when you can create these long lasting partnerships, that's kind of why I'm in it. That's why I love it, to create something that's long lasting. And that's one of my fondest memories too, of just not giving up. When someone tells you, you know, when they slam the door in your face, there's always a window that's cracked on the side. You can, you know, you can sneak in some way.
Yeah. And sometimes you can share your view on that as well. But, and this is also from Gary Vee as well. Like, you know, not spending time on no's, you know, but from the other side, is don't take no as an answer.
Yeah.
So it's really like that.
Oh yeah. I'm always, you know, and I always kind of preach this a lot, that no now doesn't mean no forever, you know. No means now, yeah. Like no means no for right now, but in 6 months it might change. There might be a new marketing director. They might have a new product line. They got bought by a bigger company. Their CEO changed. Their CEO actually loves sports. When the last CEO hated sports, like, you just, things change. I mean, you're a different person than you were 6 months ago. The world was a different world 7 months ago before the whole pandemic hit. So it's kind of, things change over time. So don't let one know, you know, spoil you forever.
Oh yeah. If someone wants to go now and check Sports Sales and Coffee podcast, what would be your three episodes? I know it's gonna be but what would be three episodes that you would recommend to start?
I'm always bad at this because I'm always bad at this. So I would actually, after I answer, I know you said you listen, I love you to tell me what you think your, you know, episodes would be for them to listen. I really liked the shoot me an email episode, and I believe that was pretty recently. I stole this idea from, it was a Grant Cardone TikTok I saw, and then I expanded it on kind of why I think it worked perfectly. And you know, very excited to use it, the rebuttal to just shoot me an email when someone says it, which we all get all the time. I think my cold calling episodes, I did two. I did a revisit because my first one was my first one, so it wasn't as good. It's great, but I revisited it. So a cold calling episode I think is great. And then the sales process one, I enjoy. And I don't know the episode numbers to them, but the sales process was kind of how everything I look at it from start to finish and like kind of the steps. And I think that's huge because I am also a big believer that sales is sales. The only thing that changes between sales is just the product or the experience. So you always want to start with a cold call and then set a meeting. Doesn't matter if you're selling sports, if you're selling insurance, or if you're selling uniforms or toilet paper like I used to sell. You need that meeting and, you know, step by step and go from there. So that's what I would say my three episodes would be. What would you say?
Shoot me an email was definitely one of the top ones because I told you I started listening to you like what, May, June, something like that. Shoot me an email was good. Actually, and that day I listened to that podcast. The next day, I also had with my job, I had a good conversation, and the guy, a potential client, asked me to do like send me everything by email. And as from that moment onwards, I'm always asking, like, I'm not sending everything. I'm like, what would be valuable to you from you send, like, you know, stuff like that. It's not, I can send you 100 decks, but what particular information are you interested in, and stuff like that. So I think this is really valuable. And that was really good, really good episode to listen to. And the second one, I'll say two because it's been more, and I also don't know the numbers to them, but the other one was tackle an organization or a partner from top bottom.
Yep. Top down.
Nice. I loved it.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Good.
Top down.
Good. It's always funny. I think the one mistake I'm making in my episodes is I talk about sports, and what I found out is that I might have started my own curse of when I make predictions that, like, in the beginning when I'm like, man, Blazers are going to go to the NBA Finals. Nah, sure don't. Celtics are looking good. No. I remember last year I was like, after they beat the Sixers game one, or the Bucks, I was like, Al Horford's taking over, and they got swept the rest. So I might have to stop talking about, especially my teams that I enjoy, because I'm ruining them. So if you look at the past episodes, you might be like, this guy's an idiot. He thinks so-and-so's doing well. It's like, well, it is.
No, that's right. Justin, what was your best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I received is I was selling cell phones at the mall. This was when I needed a job. So I took I did cell phones, and I was doing pretty well. I was one of the, like, I was close to the top. And I remember my manager pulled me aside. The best advice he gave me was, he said, you're lazy. And I looked at him, I said, what are you talking? I go, I'm not lazy. He goes, I'm not talking about lazy, like you're sitting on the couch eating bonbons. And I remember this like it was yesterday. This was years ago, 8-9 years ago. And he goes, you're lazy that you don't take the necessary steps, that you rely too much on your personality and your ability to connect with people than following the right steps. And I said, I don't think I do that. And his rebuttal to me was, do you ask the six questions you're supposed to ask every single time you're in a sale? And I said, no. He goes, exactly. Because you're good at connecting, so you skip steps. You're lazy that you rely too much on that. And I've thought about that almost every time I go into a meeting, anytime I'm deep within a cold call, anytime, you know, that's a weekly, maybe even a daily occurrence. I think of that because it puts me back into perspective of, don't rely on my ability just to connect with people and talk, but actually ask the questions and follow the sales process. And
let's give value to the audience to tell us those questions.
So the questions my favorite questions are, one of the things is what do you notice when you come to the ballpark or when you go to a stadium or a sporting event? I absolutely love that question. Just because it kind of gives me a lot of the power, because it tells me what they enjoy. What do they see? What do they notice? Because if they notice it, it means that they somewhat kind of like it. So I always ask that. I always ask, the huge one is like, what is your budget? And it is an awkward question. It is sometimes, you know, a little strange because you're talking about money very early, but I always like to ask about budget. And then my rebuttal to that is because I don't want to price myself out, or, you know, I don't want to send you a big package then we never talk again because I overwhelm you. So it's always kind of, what's your budget? What you're looking to get out of this? What do you do for, what's your current marketing strategy? And do you feel like it's been working for you? And then for like season tickets or for groups, I always kind of ask, what do you do for, you know, employee appreciation? What do you do to build camaraderie and community within your company? And, you know, how, you know, have you done something in the past, or would you be interested in doing something in the future? It's just kind of, you know, asking these questions and really like listening at the end of the day, and then listening to their response so you can get all this information, and then you can, you know, come back to them with an opportunity that's going to fit their needs, because you got that all that information from them.
Right. I love it. Justin, we'll get to words associations game now.
Okay. I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right. So words associations with Justin Phillips starts right now. Red Sox.
Champions.
New York Yankees.
Derek Jeter.
TikTok.
Awkward.
Maine Red Claws.
Taco Fall. And can't win and struggling in the playoffs. Haven't really been yet. Unfortunately, I always want them to do well. I'm a big basketball guy, so I love going to the games. And unfortunately, this is I know I'm going more than I should, but this was the year they were putting it together. They had a lot of good players, and then COVID happened, and they weren't able to make a playoff run, which was a bummer.
And last but not least, Gary Vaynerchuk, aka the Gary V.
I think inspiration. He's very inspirational. I think he inspires a lot of people from afar, like he did me, and you know, really tries to give you information and yourself to kind of give you that push to get off your ass and do something. It's just, which I think is awesome.
And I think the tip number one, or it's simple, stupid. It's self-awareness. It's just, you know, not just putting stuff out there, telling your truth, and, you know, it's not looking at what other people say about it or think about what you're going to do. So I really think this is a big one.
Yeah, and I think the saying that he has, and that he's always talked about too, is just happiness is the key. And that's something that I've always believed in. And it was really assuring to have someone else who is very, very successful to have that same thought process of, you know, if you're happy where you are, I mean, if you're making, you know, 35,000, 40,000, 50,000 or whatever, and you're happy, you're content, you love your life, you're able to coach your kids' basketball games and go to the movies and do what you want to do, and you're happy, then you don't need to make $1 million. You don't have to change your lifestyle. It's not, you know, you're not looked at as a loser if you're happy. Happiness is the end goal. If you're making all this money but you're miserable and you hate your job, you're not winning. Like, it's money isn't everything. It's happiness and enjoying what you're doing and enjoying the process. And I think it's, you know, I've always kind of believed that. And I think I talk to people, and some people are like, you know, you do this podcast, you have two young kids, you're working a minor league baseball schedule. I mean, where do you find the time? And I say, I just enjoy everything I'm doing. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, get rich off this, or I'm not trying to do, I enjoy the process. I'm having a fun time with it. And if I stop having fun, then things will change. But as of right now, I'm having a lot of fun. And
yeah, and you,
that's the end goal.
Right. And you bring a good point about happiness, especially in what we do in the sports business. And, you know, not maybe top 5 or 10% in the industry, I'd say 5 maybe, have, you know, decent paid jobs and stuff like that. But is all about, you know, what's overall mission of sports is, you know, and it's definitely an industry which personally makes me happy. And of course makes you happy. And it's definitely what every individual should strive for. I think happiness.
Absolutely. I mean, I probably could go, you know, I could probably get another sales job somewhere selling insurance or, you know, selling XYZ and probably make some more money, but I wouldn't be as happy. I mean, I've done that before. I enjoy the experience. I enjoy the atmosphere, reaching out to clients and building partnerships and yeah, you know, it's a lot of hours. And I think anyone who's looking to get in the sports industry, it's a lot of hours. It's a ton of hours, especially minor league baseball, where, you know, there'd be some weeks I'll probably work, you know, 60, 70, maybe even 80 hours a week if it's a big homestand. But how I look at it as when I was doing a regular 9-to-5 job, on the weekends, me and the family wouldn't do much because we took that for, you know, we took that as, you know, for, I don't know why I can't think of the word right now, but we took it for granted. There it is. We took the weekends for granted because we didn't have anything planned. Now that in season, I'd work like every other weekend. On my weekends off, we go do something. We make sure that, you know, we'll go to a theme park. We'll go for a hike. We'll go to the beach, and we have those weekends planned because we get, you know, we do more with it. So it's kind of looking at everything, you know, glass half full is definitely the way to look at stuff.
Right. And Justin, before letting you go, just to give ultimate value to the listeners, for you know, young guys and gals who want to work in sports and, you know, maybe struggle to get into the industry right now, what would be your advice from Justin Phillips, you know, to someone who wants to pursue a career in sports?
I would say the easiest way into the sports industry is through sales. Everyone's always looking for sales, account executives, someone who's going to kill the phones and just go from there. And it's not the sexiest job in the world. I really like it. But I just know everyone who I work with started in sales. And if your goal is to be the GM of a team or to be a, you know, the marketing person, the PR person, the easiest way to get there, and it's a long road, but the easiest way to get there is to go through sales and then get in there, get into a business, understand, you know, and then show your worth of that. Hey, I'm a great writer. I can write these great PR stories. I'm very good at social media. I'm great at marketing. And then from within the company, you can move around and get that position you're really looking for. But sales is your way to get your foot in the door. And what I've seen is right when you get your foot in the door, then you can move around. You can get that real, that position you want, but sales is the way to get there. So yeah. If you're looking for a sales job, a lot of times, you know, getting out of college or university, it's everyone has pretty much the same resume. You know, you waited tables, worked retail. There's nothing that might set you apart from someone else. So I would say how to set yourself apart was to try to get as much time on the phone as you can. So whether that's volunteering for your club or working at a, you know, if you're working at a golf course but have something where you're on the phone calling maybe members, you're calling for trades, for sponsorship, and then record that information and make it into that, hey, I was actually calling, you know, like I made 50 phone calls a week that I had, you know, 4 businesses sign on for our fun run. We had, get that information. So when you can put on your resume, a sports team is going to pick someone who has cold calling experience, like 9 out of 10 times more than someone who doesn't, just because it's, you're already a step ahead. So the more time you can get on the phone and get those bad calls out of the way, because everyone's bad at cold calling when you first start out, get those out of the way, then you can grow and you can, you know, hopefully get that position.
Absolutely. And I'll add here, Justin, it's, even if it's another, a different position, you're always selling something.
You're always selling something. And it's just,
You're, for example, you're in a different position in an organization, you're selling an idea, you're pitching an idea to your manager, to an executive, et cetera. There's always a selling process going on. You're sometimes selling yourself, ideas and stuff like that. So I think it's always the process of selling going on.
Oh, absolutely. And then especially if you decide to have kids, you're selling everything to them that, yes, those carrots are delicious, that you should try that broccoli. I mean, it is bedtime, and this is why. Here's the benefits of you going to, like, so it is a great, I think sales is just a huge life skill.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, thanks a lot for taking the time. And someone wants to get in touch with you, how they can do it, you can share your sports sales coffee details or personal details. Just share your details with the audience.
Absolutely. The podcast is Sports Sales and Coffee. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. It's at Sports Sales Coffee on Instagram and on LinkedIn and on Facebook. Twitter, it's SSC_podcast. Slide the, hit me up through the DMs. I'll get back to you. I try to get back to everyone. And I do get back to everyone. It might be a little bit depending on kind of what I'm constantly doing when you send, but I try my hardest to get back to everyone and respond. And I'm very, very reachable. There's no dumb questions. It is what it is. Or through LinkedIn, Justin Phillips, you can hit me up and, you know, I'll get back to everyone. I love chatting and helping out any way I can.
Yeah, I'll add them in the episode notes. Justin, thanks again a lot, man, for taking the time. Awesome story, and I just truly thankful for you sharing the story with all the listeners of the podcast. Loved it.
Hey, man, absolutely. Hey, I really appreciate you. You putting up with me today. I know it was tough. I lost power. My daughter's going crazy, so it might be a little chopped up. But I really appreciate you having me on. It was great talking to you, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Fred.
That was it for this episode. Please, please, please share it with your network and friends who you think will get value out of it. Also, share it on social platforms and tag me using the details in the episode notes. If you enjoyed it, leave a rate and review. The next episode, which is episode 30, will be a bonus one. So make sure you stay tuned and subscribe to not miss it. Thanks to my team for all the support, and on behalf of everyone at eProcast, stay safe and see you in the next episode. Peace out.